Welcome to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast.
With my husband.
And my father, Jason Thomas.
Welcome, fellow Chiefs fans. The final preseason game is over, and the flurry of moves that happen right after that are right in the midst of what's going on right now. It seems like the practice squad will be announced later today, and the Chiefs, I'm guessing, will still go ahead and make two or three more moves to their final roster before next Sunday in the opening game against Jacksonville. Now, I'm not going to talk about that game yet. I'll probably put out another podcast, hopefully by Wednesday night. And I'm not really going to talk about the fourth preseason game because I didn't even watch all of it. I wasn't able to watch it live Thursday night. I was doing something and caught a lot of it on the radio. And then, it just didn't seem like there was a lot of really interesting or fruitful stuff in that game. I'd much rather talk about what's happened since that game. And of course, the big news right at this moment, it's about 10 a.m. on Sunday, is the fact that the Bills cut LeSean McCoy and the Chiefs signed him to a one-year, $3 million deal. There is another additional $1 million of incentives where he can make it a $4 million deal. And that leaves the Chiefs currently with four running backs on their roster. I'm not sure if they will stay with four running backs or go ahead and try to get Darrell Williams to the practice squad. I mentioned a couple podcasts ago, I thought the Chiefs should probably keep four viable running backs around. And one of those options was, though, to put Darrell Williams on the practice squad in case he's needed. At first, I had kind of mixed emotions about the LeSean McCoy signing. He is 31 years old. He is coming off of a terrible season last year with the Buffalo Bills. But Buffalo was not a very good team last year. And teams knew they were going to try to run the football, and there just weren't many openings for him to run in. Now, it did worry me a little bit when I first looked and saw that his elusive rating was right at the bottom of the league. He was bottom 4 or 5. But I really do believe that a lot of that was just because he had a guy about ready to hit him immediately on a lot of his carries. And it's hard to make a guy miss when they've got a free shot at you. Of course, in this offense, he will be able to see what's developing in front of him and be able to make those shady McCoy cuts that he's famous for. And I think he'll do just fine. He is 31. I don't think he's going to have a career year or anything like that, but I think he will be valuable. In my personal opinion, what I would really like to happen is for all three running backs to still be involved. Now, I know that Darwin Thompson might not be as involved in the first part of the season as he would have been, but I still think he will have a very valuable role as the season goes on. And of course, my personal opinion is that Darwin Thompson is the best of these three running backs. Maybe not right this moment, right this day, but he's still developing. And I think, you know, later on this season, he will definitely show up. Now, of course, Damian Williams and LeSean McCoy, you know, it'll be interesting to see what that time split is between them, because I don't think the Chiefs are going to carry the ball just a ton this year. I expected them to pass a lot when I did my projections a while back, and that really hasn't changed. I do expect them to throw to the running backs a lot, though. I expect them to take that up a couple notches from where they've been the last couple of years, and the signing of McCoy only heightens that. Now, McCoy and Williams, as pass catchers, kind of have similar backgrounds. Of course, McCoy's had many more years of experience coming into the league in 09. But, you know, he's been up in the 50 catch range in a season before. He's averaged right around 7 yards per catch, right around what Damian Williams has averaged in his career. And a lot of that is, you know, a lot of teams aren't that imaginative. Getting the ball to running backs out of the backfield. That will get better in Kansas City for McCoy. And of course, you know, I think they'll both do fine at that, Williams and McCoy. But of course, you know, Darwin Thompson is going to be the guy catching the ball out of the backfield and busting the ginormous plays, I believe. That's just, you know, his talent sets up great for that. I just don't want to see too many chances get taken away from him to bust a few of those. Now, one good thing about Darwin Thompson is, especially early on in the season, I don't think he necessarily needs a lot of touches to make an impact. You know, and LeSean McCoy is an older guy. You probably don't want to give him a ton of touches per game either. You know, and Damian Williams, he's kind of, you know, in his prime right now. You know, spreading the rock around, I don't have any problem with that. Any problem at all. As long as these running backs don't fumble and they know what their role is and what they're supposed to do, I think it just makes it that much harder on opposing defenses to figure out what they got to do to stop them. Now, of course, going into cut downs yesterday, Carlos Hyde was on this team. He currently isn't, which I think just about everybody had figured out. But instead of being cut, Brett Veach somehow traded him to the Houston Texans. And of course, when Lamar Miller went down in week three of the preseason, that was kind of a thought I think most Chiefs fans had, because, you know, we knew Hyde wasn't going to make the team probably by then. And, you know, the Texans, they like to kind of have a plow horse running back. Don't ask me why, but that's kind of their way. But I just thought Carlos Hyde had looked so bad this preseason that they'd just wait for him to be cut. But they didn't. They traded us a third-round pick, I believe, from two seasons ago. Actually, he might have been a third-round pick last year. And he actually started a few games for him. I haven't watched any of his film. I looked at his PFF rankings, and it's not very good at all. Kind of in the Cam Irving range. But he is young. He's cost-controlled. And just see what Andy Heck can do with him. The Chiefs need a swing tackle terribly, and this guy does play some tackle. So if he can fill that swing tackle role, that's something that's going to be very important for this Chiefs team, because, like I mentioned in the last podcast, the Chiefs don't have a swing tackle right now. And if Fisher or Schwartz went down, that could really, really hamstring the offense this season. So I'm glad that Veach addressed that. So, you know, really the offense, the skill positions, running backs, wide receivers, you know, look good at tight end. They kept Blake Bell and Deion Yelder. Sounds like Yelder could begin practicing again this week. You know, I think Bell is going to be a very good blocker. He's going to catch a few passes, and then Yelder is going to be the guy that develops and is kind of the dangerous pass catcher behind Kelsey at the tight end position. At quarterback, Chad Henne broke his ankle in that third preseason game. The Chiefs signed Matt Moore to be the new number two quarterback. You know, Shermer and Litton, probably neither one have any business being a backup quarterback in the NFL. Shermer maybe with, you know, if he can get two or three years on a practice squad, be a third string quarterback, he might, you know, make it as a backup in this league. But his arm strength is not that great. Let's see, where was I headed with that? Oh, Chad Henne with the IR. You know, they did keep him on the roster. It sounds like they're going to put him on the IR, so he will be available to come back later on this season if they choose to go that route. And, of course, McCoy is going to have to be put on the active roster, so he could take any spot. Or Jeff Allen was cut in the cuts, but I do believe he will be on this team. I think that was really the plan with him, was to give him Henne's roster spot. So we'll see how that works out later today. The other cut that kind of got me a little bit was the Cody Thompson cut. You know, it didn't sound like they really tried to keep him that hard. I really hope he can make it through to the practice squad. But Cody Thompson is definitely one of those guys that I think you know what you have in him. Right now. So I don't think he's going to improve a ton in his career. He's a very polished receiver for what he does right now. He's not a bad special teamer. So if they don't really see value in him now, then I don't know what value they're going to see in him down the road, even though I personally really, really like Cody Thompson, and I really wish that they would find a way to get somebody with his skill set involved in this offense. Out of the cutdowns, I really think that was the biggest surprises. Tremont Smith, he made the team for this 1 week because, of course, Anthony Thomas was suspended the first week of the season. I think most people realized that was coming. A few people were shocked, but he was arrested this last offseason for pot possession. So, that was definitely coming. I think Tremont Smith will probably be on the team just this 1 week. And then Thomas will take his roster spot. Khalil McKenzie was cut. I was not shocked a bit by this. Wasn't really surprised. Maybe some people were. If you just watched him much this preseason, he didn't stand out in any way. It looked to me like he was holding a lot. He might end up making it as an offensive lineman in this league, but I'd almost guarantee he needs, this year and one more year of working at it to really even give it a shot to be a significant backup. And the Chiefs, they're just, Allegretti showing what he showed. There was no real reason to keep McKenzie. And so now, of course, the Chiefs have Irving Allegretti in this Martinez, the offensive lineman they got from the Texans. That gives them 8. If they do bring Allen back, that gives them 9. I don't know if you'd really call Irving or Wiley the starting guard at the moment. I'm not sure how that's going to work, but Wiley can also play tackle if he has to. To me, that would be the only real upside of keeping Wiley out of the starting lineup is getting him ready to play tackle if he's needed. On the defensive side, there weren't really many surprises for me. I was glad that Joey Ivey made the team, even if it did cost the Chiefs Justin Hamilton. I like Justin Hamilton a lot. He's stout against the run. He's not going to get you much pass rush. Joey Ivey's definitely got some pass rush from the inside. Of course, Colin Saunders made this team, even though he's going to need probably at least another year before we can really even tell if he's going to be able to contribute. The corner situation did surprise me just a little bit. I think the Chiefs really only have 4 healthy corners on their roster right now. Fenton, the draft pick, I think is the 4th corner. And then you've got, Ward, Fuller, and Breland. And then, after week 4, we'll have Mo Claiborne back. So, I wouldn't be shocked to see the Chiefs add a corner. I don't think, any of the young guys that got cut will make it through the waiver wires. So I think it'll probably be kind of a veteran guy that was cut. There were a few of them. There's Captain Munnerland. I think the Seahawks cut a couple, just kind of depth pieces until Claiborne gets back. It'd really be great if a guy like Mike Jackson, who got cut by the Cowboys, made it through to the Chiefs in the waiver wire. But the way the waiver wire works is, last year's record is where you get to put your claims in. And the Chiefs were just really good last year. And there are a lot of teams that need cornerback help. So, I don't think anybody significant will make it back there to them. One good positive for the Chiefs is that, they kept all their safeties. And, they've got 3 safeties that can play corner in a pinch if they have to. There were a couple more things on defense I wanted to mention. The first was that Mark Fields, he did get traded to the Vikings for a 7th round pick. So, yeah, he had a lot of ability, but just wasn't working out with the Chiefs, so they were able to flip him and actually get something for him. And before, I wanted to say, well, what's a seventh round pick worth? But then you look, and Allegretti was the Chiefs' seventh round pick this year. He made the 53 man. And then Darwin Thompson was one of the very last picks of the sixth round. And I think he's going to be somebody that contributes a lot, too. So that could be more valuable than you'd think. The other thing I wanted to mention was out of a Andy Reid press conference yesterday, and he kind of mentioned, you know, the three linebackers that would be playing a lot would be Anthony Hitchens, Damian Wilson, and Darren Lee. So it sounds like Darren Lee is going to be the starter at will, and Damian Wilson will be the starter at Sam, kind of like a lot of people were thinking, you know, all summer. But it hadn't looked that way in training camp. So it was a little bit shocking. It does sound like Ragland will get to play some, and Neiman too. Those were the first two backup linebackers he mentioned. And we'll probably see them, you know, all rotate in different packages and stuff. But I like the fact that they mentioned Lee, because the defense, especially in preseason, really looked like it was focused on stopping the run. Chris Jones mentioned something about that at the luncheon, that they really want to focus on stopping the run, and I get that 100%. Stopping the run, definitely puts the other team in a bind. But last year New England ran all over us in both games, but they also killed us with a short passing game over the middle. And they kill teams in different ways. And we definitely need to make sure that we've shored up that defense over the middle with the linebackers. And I think the best chance we have at that is having Darren Lee on the field. And then possibly even later on in the season, getting Neiman some looks out there, and giving Hitchens some time to rest. And let Neiman play some of that zone coverage. Because one thing I think teams have been doing well over the last few years, Chiefs included, is passing on first down and running on second. And so, your defensive packages struggle that way, because if you get your run stoppers in on first down and you pass, that puts the defense at a negative. And if, you know, they complete that pass for second and four and you put your passing defense in and then they run, it puts you at a disadvantage. So smart offensive coaches are always going to have the advantage. That's just the truth of it in today's NFL. But you just got to do anything you can to get an advantage back. And that's why athletic linebackers like Lee are such a premium. And there are quite a few of them in the NFL. I know that's hard to believe, because the Chiefs haven't had one in forever, except for an aging Derek Johnson, who's still one of my favorite players of all time. But they definitely should have brought more athleticism in here to be with him. It was a shame they didn't. I think that's really all I've got for this podcast. There's always a million ideas running around in my head, and I get to talking, and it's hard to remember all of them. You can always get a hold of me at arrowheadfanaticpodcast@gmail.com if you want to email me. I will get to talk a little bit about the Jaguars later on this week. I do want to mention that's probably not as easy of a game as a lot of people are thinking out there. The Jaguars offense might not be spectacular, but it will be Spags defense first test of the year. So, there's no being sure that they're going to be 100% ready. And of course, the Jaguars defense is a monstrosity, and they gave the Chiefs a lot of trouble in that game last year. It was definitely one of Mahomes' worst, probably two or three games of the season. He had two picks, one touchdown. The Chiefs did win that game pretty handily, but a lot of it honestly was the defense. So, definitely wasn't Mahomes' best game. It'll be a good kind of measuring stick to see how much he's improved and how much Andy Reid has just improved, being able to scheme against a team like that with all the weapons the Chiefs now have, because as good as the Jaguars defense is, they can't cover everybody. All right. Have a great week, guys, and go Chiefs.